Good evening and welcome to Nightline Africa. We are coming to you from the English service of the Voice of America on Sunday, October 30th. Thanks for joining us. I'm Douglas Impoga in Washington.
He said the cowardly terrorists targeted civilians with bomb blasts and they killed mothers with their babies on their back.
Car bomb blasts rock Somalia's capital city, Mogadishu, killing scores and causing additional casualties.
In the countries of Central Sahel, Burkina Faso, Niger, and Mali, above average rains and flooding have killed hundreds, displaced thousands, and decimated over 1 million hectares of cropland.
The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, says that millions of people are suffering from devastating flooding across West and Central Africa, a region long mired in conflict, instability and destitution.
The 9th August 2022 general elections in Kenya took place in a peaceful environment overall, with fundamental democratic rights respected.
And the European Union Election Observation Mission in Kenya says Kenya's August 9th poll had a lot of improvements compared to the previous elections. Those stories and more coming up on Nightline Africa. A bomb last Saturday rocked Somalia's capital Mogadishu, killing scores and causing additional casualties. Mohamed Dasayani reports from Mogadishu, Somalia.
A double car bomb blast targeting the busy Zobe intersection in Somali capital Mogadishu are resulting in extensive fatalities. A police officer who spoke to VOA on condition of anonymity because he is not authorized to speak to the media said one of the blasts took place near the Somali Ministry of Education. He confirmed that a local journalist, Mohamed Isa Kenan, was among the people who were killed in the attack. He said there are massive casualties from the attack, but it is too early to say how many have been killed or injured. Abdulqadir Mohamed Abdulle, a VOA Somali services stringer also, has been injured in the attack, according to his colleagues. The Al-Qaeda-affiliated Islamist group Al-Shabaab claimed responsibility for the deadly attack and said in a statement it had struck one of the Somali government ministries in Mogadishu. Somali police spokesman Sadiq Adan Ali Dodisha said at a news conference in Mogadishu after the attack that scores of people were killed in the attack and the terrorist group targeted civilians, including women, children, and the elderly. He said the cowardly terrorists targeted civilians with bomb blasts and they killed mothers with their babies on their back. He said that reveals the heinous action of the terrorists. He noted the bombing targeted the Zobe intersection and an area close to the Ministry of Education. Meanwhile, a five-day national conference on combating violent extremism concluded Saturday in Mogadishu. Somalia President Hassan Sheikh Mahmoud, Prime Minister Hamza Abdi Barre, and regional leaders and religious scholars attended the closing ceremony of the conference. The Somali president recently announced a total war against Al-Shabaab militants. He spoke at the closing ceremony. He says everyone who bows to Al-Shabaab knows they are responsible for every explosion, every bullet fired, and for all the destruction of every water well. He says, know that you will die when your time comes, and you will not survive because of the money you paid to Al-Shabaab. Somali Prime Minister Hamza Abdi Barre said Al-Shabaab misrepresents the Islamic religion and praised religious scholars' efforts to overcome the deadly Al-Shabaab ideology. He says Al-Shabaab endangers lives and human dignity. He emphasized that Somalis must know the situation caused by the drought is dramatically worsened because of Al-Shabaab's closure of roads, to prevent the people from preaching assistance. After the conference, Somali religious scholars issued a communique that called out Al-Shabaab and denounced their ideology. The scholars announced it is forbidden in Islam to pay money to Al-Shabaab. Somalia has been grappling with security threats for years, with Al-Shabaab Islamists being one of the main threats in the Horn of Africa nation. Since at least 2007, Al-Shabaab has waged a deadly campaign against the Somali government and the international forces that has claimed thousands of lives. Mohamed Laisane for VOA News in Mogadishu.
At least 100 people were killed and close to 300 others were injured in the two car bombings, according to President Hassan Sheikh Mohamud. The president visited the site of the attack early Sunday and appealed to the international community to send doctors and medical supplies to treat the wounded. Mohamud urged the public to donate blood to those injured in the attack. He also vowed to give free education to the children left behind by the victims killed on Saturday's attack, as well as the children of the deceased victims of other Al-Shabaab attacks. The UN Refugee Agency, UNHCR, said Friday that millions of people are suffering from devastating flooding across West and Central Africa, a region long mired in conflict, instability, and destitution. Lisa Schlein reports for VOA from Geneva.
UNHCR said more than 2 months of heavy flooding, some of the worst in a decade, has displaced more than 3.4 million people in Nigeria, Chad, Niger, Burkina Faso, Mali, and Cameroon. The UN agency said northeast Nigerian flooding has affected nearly 3 million people, killed hundreds, and displaced over 1.3 million. The floodwaters, it said, have swept through areas sheltering more than 2 million people who have fled fighting by Boko Haram militants in Borno, Adamawa, and Yobe states. UNHCR spokeswoman Olga Serrado said Chad declared a state of emergency after floods affected more than 1 million people there. She said rivers have overflowed their banks, submerging fields, killing livestock, and forcing more than 90,000 people to flee their homes.
In the countries of Central Sahel, Burkina Faso, Niger, and Mali, above average rains and flooding have killed hundreds, displaced thousands, and decimated over 1 million hectares of cropland. Worsening climate shocks in the Sahel in particular have fueled drought and flooding, lower crop yields, and contributed to a general deterioration in public services for one of the world's worst displacement crises.
The UNHCR said armed groups spreading terror and fear in the region, as well as poverty and inequality, have led nearly 5 million people in the Sahel to flee their homes. Nearly 3 million of those, it said, remain inside their countries, while the others have fled to neighboring countries. The agency said the climate crisis is destroying livelihoods, disrupting food security, aggravating conflicts over scarce resources, and driving more people from their homes. Serrado called for more support for those on the front lines of the climate crisis to help them deal with the consequences. Lisa Schlein for VOA News, Geneva.
The European Union Election Observation Mission to Kenya says Kenya's August 9th polls had a lot of improvements compared to the previous elections. In its final report, the EU Observation Mission said that the elections highlighted many positive elements in Kenya's electoral process, confirming Kenya's democratic status. They, however, noted that improvements are needed to enhance transparency and public trust, particularly by strengthening the electoral body's ability to fulfill its mandate. Maureen Ojambo reports.
The final report of the European Union Election Observation Mission contains a total of 21 recommendations for improving future Kenyan elections. The report suggests changes in the regulatory framework to ensure constitutional provisions on gender equality are fully implemented. It also wants to see enforcement of legislation on campaign finance. Chief Observer Ivan Stefanek, a member of the European Parliament, said that Kenya desires to improve its election system.
The 9th August 2022 general elections in Kenya took place in a peaceful environment overall, with fundamental democratic rights respected. A positive element of these elections was the emergence of socio-economic issues as the key focus of the electoral campaign, which might continue to develop also in the near future. The IEBC's administration of the election was challenged by a lack of resources, as well as political divisions.
The mission is calling for improvements in the election technology and for the Independent Electoral Boundaries Commission, IEBC, to be provided with timely resources to implement continuous voter education. Stefanek highlighted some of the recommendations that IEBC should consider.
IEBC to operationalize the Election Campaign Financing Act to regulate the amount of money received and spent by candidates and political parties during an election or referendum. IEBC to introduce clear and detailed procedures for managing staff and the flow of information at telling centers, to increase the consistency and the efficiency of the process, especially the public display of results being aggregated there and the uploading of all results forms to the public portal to ensure verifiability.
The report took into consideration all aspects of electoral process, the political environment, the role of the media and social media in the campaign, the performance of the IEBC, as well as the compliance with national and international law. Stefanek says legal reforms are needed to remove unreasonable requirements for electoral candidates.
The ban on public resources being used for these purposes, including also the legal banning of cabinet secretaries and members of county executive committees from campaigning. On media, the mission offers a recommendation aimed at enhancing the protection of freedom of expression, to properly sanction and investigate attacks against journalists.
The report says the preparatory stages of the election were managed effectively and that the recruitment of polling station members was conducted transparently and competitively. The dismissal of 10 polling staff by the IEBC one day before polling for participating in meetings with candidates demonstrated a proactive effort to ensure the integrity of the process by the electoral body. Reporting for VOA, I am Maureen Ojiambo in Sacramento, California.
More than 100,000 refugees from Burundi live in Tanzania, where the government is trying to raise money from international organizations to repatriate them. For more on this issue, I reached Deodatus Balile, managing editor of Jamhuri newspaper in Dar es Salaam.
I think this won't be the first time for the government to repatriate refugees from Tanzania to Burundi in a voluntary form. It was done about 2 years ago, and last year it was done because it is agreeable that in Burundi the situation now has stabilized. And apart from this move that the government is seeking funds, individuals have been moving back to Burundi after assuring themselves that the situation has cooled down and the safety is guaranteed and the government is stable now in Burundi. So I think the right move to reunify the families which were separated because of the internal wars, something which is good.
As you mentioned, this is not the first time this is being tried. It was tried beginning in 2018 and 2019. But do you think the refugees, yes, most of them are willing to go back?
On this, most refugees are willing to go back voluntarily. It's not that anyone is forced to go back. They are not closing camps, but those who are ready are reunified with their families, and the move is voluntary. The way I know it, no one is forced to go back by force. It's a voluntary repatriation. For those who are not ready, we have a number of refugees who have been in Tanzania from the early 1970s, and even some have been naturalized in this country. So for someone who is not comfortable to go back, is at liberty to stay. And it happened the same in 2018. Quite a number were taken back to Burundi. Some remained. And if the time has come, those who are ready to be voluntarily repatriated, it is their turn to be assisted so that they can settle without encumbrances.
Inadequate funding is being cited as the reason why some of these Burundian refugees in Tanzania are not going back, and the government is reported to be sourcing funds to do that. How successful do you think that venture would be?
First of all, I should talk about why funding. You know, someone has been out of the country for 5, 7 years, 10 years, and others even came in the early 1970s. So reunifying them with their families, you should take note that they have not been working there in Burundi. And here in Tanzania, most of them were camped in camps, so they have no sources of income. By the time when they go back home, even if it is voluntary repatriation, they need to get something which can help them to settle, something to start with, so that they get to link again with the economies back home. But on the question whether the government will secure the funding timely or not, I might not be in a position to comment on this. But I think if the government has placed this request, those benefactors who are ready, who are willing, who are touched by this request, I think it will be a just cause to help these fellow Burundians to be reunified with their families. East Africans, we have been friendly countries. We have lived together, be it Rwandese, be it Burundians, Kenyans, Ugandans. I think it's high time that as we have integrated our regions, the free movement of people and full integration should be contemplated, so that even if someone, a Burundian, wants to live in Tanzania, should be given the leeway to move from Burundi and live in Tanzania freely. So though we have the East African community, this element of land, it is still a clock which is not letting people to get what they want, because we are still having imaginary borders of land, though we claim to be having a unified East African community.
That was Deodatus Balile, managing editor of Jamhuri newspaper. He spoke with me from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. Authorities in Zimbabwe say the death toll from illegal mining is rising, with more than 100 people killed so far this year, more than double the casualties in 2020. The government has launched a safety campaign aimed at illegal miners, but the struggling economy pushes many people to keep risking their lives underground. Columbus Mavunga reports from Bubi, Zimbabwe.
22-year-old Mqini Ncube is one of many people involved in illegal gold mining in Bubi district, just outside Bulawayo, Zimbabwe's second biggest city. He says he started mining at 11 years old when he dropped out of school due to lack of fees. He has no plans to stop illegal mining despite the dangers. He says right now is the rain season. We have to think about going back home. The shafts are not strong. Some are collapsing, some are strong. He says only if we had something to do that can sustain us, we could stop mining here because it is not safe. But this is what is there. The ministries of mines and of environment say they are working to improve the conditions for the miners. Ngobizitha Mangaliso Ndlovu, Zimbabwe's environment minister, says it is not just the deaths that concern the government, but also the fact that miners earn so little for their dangerous work.
We try and engage illegal miners also, because it's never safe to do your things illegally. First, it is against the law. Secondly, we believe that they get shortchanged, they are unable to access financing when they are doing mining illegally.
The Zimbabwe Miners Association says the group wants funding so miners can get better equipment. The association's Benjamin Ndlovu no relation to the government minister knows that the government already helps small-scale farmers.
The small miners in Zimbabwe have a bright future, especially if the government can come in and try to help the miners financially, even the banks if they can help the miners financially. For example, like in agriculture, where the government chips in with some seeds and some fertilizers and so many other things.
In the meantime, illegal miners in Zimbabwe, like in Nube, continue their dangerous work and live in fear of being arrested. They can go for days without finding minerals, but when they do, they can earn as much as $50 per day. Columbus Mavungam for VOA News, Bubi, Zimbabwe.
Scientists from across Africa are amplifying their concern over the alarming rate at which the continent is losing its biodiversity, threatening millions of lives. They are now calling for quick progress towards enhanced protection to tackle the problem. From the Kenyan capital Nairobi, Ruben Chama reports.
Engineers, medical professionals, and other scientists are urging countries to step up efforts to secure biodiversity. Eric Nana is a conservation biologist from Cameroon and a research associate at the Department of Zoology at Oxford University.
Africa is losing its biodiversity, but also Africa's biodiversity is quite important for the planet because the forests in Africa serve as carbon sinks, which somehow reduce global warming. So one problem is that Africa is losing this biodiversity. In different parts in Central Africa, the main causes are illegal hunting, poaching, which is a serious threat. If you take a case like in the Democratic Republic of Congo, scientific studies have estimated that 5 million tons of bushmeat are trafficked yearly in the Democratic Republic of Congo alone.
He says other serious threats to habitat loss, like illegal logging and agricultural expansion, are driving animal and plant species to extinction. The career researcher calls on governments across the continent and beyond to share experiences and exchange ideas on how best they can work together to use science to transform lives in Africa. According to the World Bank, Africa is home to rich and diverse animal, plant, and marine biodiversity that drives the continent's economy and serves as a buffer to climate change. However, the continent is experiencing a dramatic loss of biodiversity. Some say human health and the health of ecosystems are intertwined. Mercy Akinyi is a research veterinarian based at the Institute of Primate Research in Nairobi, Kenya.
What we see is disease emergence, especially for those that have potential to lead to pandemics. A lot of them come from here. For example, we have the ongoing outbreak of Ebola. Definitely, the emerging and re-emerging infectious diseases is really a huge public health threat, and they come with devastating economic impacts.
Akinyi recommends certain changes in policy making and strong collaboration among governments to be better prepared for health emergencies.
Things about data sharing about different things is equally really, really crucial within countries and between countries, because diseases do not know boundaries, right? They cross boundaries left, right, and center. So we need to have a one health approach towards disease and ensuring that the whole ecosystem and the whole planet is healthy.
Experts say one of the best ways the continent can respond to pressing threats is to strengthen international research collaboration across disciplines and sectors to help find solutions. Tanya Berger-Wolf is a professor of computer science and engineering and director of the Imageomics Institute at Ohio State University.
As a computer scientist, I can help address the data challenge in biodiversity. There is a lot of data already that exists, but not connected in any good way to provide a global picture. So AI and data science can really help connect existing pieces of data to give a global picture. The other part is bringing a completely different source of data that hasn't been used before in any meaningful way. And that's where I put a lot of effort developing technologies that enable the use of images.
Scientists say the COVID-19 pandemic has highlighted the importance of conserving biodiversity, particularly in Africa. Ruben Chama, VOA News, Nairobi.
The Nigerian Medical Association says more than 10,000 Nigerian trained medical practitioners are practicing in the United Kingdom. The president of the association disclosed the figures at a media briefing to mark the 2022 Physicians Week. He blamed the loss of doctors to poor pay, heavy workloads, shortage of supplies, and even the threat of kidnapping. Dr. Adetunji Adenekan is the second vice president of the Nigerian Medical Association. He told reporter Mike Mbonyi the government should improve the welfare package of medical practitioners to check the movement of Nigerian doctors abroad.
But UK seems to be the highest. That's why we have to bring that out as an organization, as a professional body. Other places where they go include Australia, Canada, United States of America, South Africa. A lot of Nigerians also go there. And Saudi Arabia as well as even Qatar, Dubai, doctors are moving to all these places as well. So after the UK, who seem to be the highest, I think between you, Canada and USA and Australia, they also have some quite large number.
Sir, what do you think should be done to check this brain drain out of Nigeria?
Thank you very much for that question. And that brings me to talk about the issue of political will. The issue of brain drain is not something new to you and I. And it's not the first time even yourself as a journalist is seeing that in the news. It is not new to all of us. But what is more shocking is that we are not doing anything about it. We knew it was coming. We sounded the alarm that it was coming. We raised enough awareness to let them know the implication of what brain drain is going to do to the patients, to the doctor, to the health system. As a whole, every country is trying to make sure that their health system works, and they are calling for healthcare workers who can work for them, and they are bringing them to those places with enough packages, welfare packages that can make them stay. They are bringing them into a situation where there is enough cover for equipment on the standard of practice. So all the push and pull factors are there. Now we're talking about push factors for a doctor who is leaving his own country to another country. That's the push factors. We have been talking about this push factor for God knows when. But what we have not seen that is surprising and shocking is that nothing has been done about it. The welfare packages. When you go to a place and you are talking about welfare, if somebody is trained in a country and the welfare packages are there, some of these are the push factor. If that one is there, and this economy, nobody thinks about going because any country you go, it's not yours. You are not a citizen of that country. You are like a second class. But for purpose of economy, welfare, remuneration, security, people leave.
Sir, let me come in here again. If this trend is not checked, what will be the effect or the impact on the nation?
The impact is already being felt. What you can ask me is, what further impact can we have? And it can only continue to make our health system deteriorate. Even the doctors who are around are overworked. But the level we have in this country is making a lot of people leave. Then the workload is much. Where you're supposed to have 20 doctors, eventually you have 10. You increase the ratio of how many patients a doctor will see. Go around. Everybody's free. Go to every hospital. Go and see the magnitude of patients and the number of doctors that need to see them.
That was Dr. Adetunji Adenekan, second vice president of the Nigerian Medical Association. He spoke with reporter Mike Mbonyi on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria. This is the Voice of America, and you're listening to Nightline Africa. I'm your host, Douglas Simpoga, in Washington. And coming up in the second half of Nightline Africa, sports with Samson O'Malley, and that will be followed by music from our African collection. It's now time for Nightline Africa Sports, and for that, let's go to Abuja and join Samson O'Malley. Hello, Samson.
Hi Douglas, and good evening sports fans. Welcome to Nightline Africa Sports. The CAF Women's Champions League will get underway on Sunday, the 30th of October 2022 in Morocco. The second edition of the tournament will see the participation of 8 clubs from the different CAF zones. Hosts AS FAR of Morocco will face Simba Queens SC of Tanzania on Sunday at the Prince Haita Mole Al Hassan Stadium in Rabat. The match will be the first encounter between the two teams. In the early kickoff, Green Buffaloes women of Zambia will face Determined women of Liberia. Staying with CAF competitions, the zonal phase qualifiers of the African Schools Football Championships is making its second zonal stop in the Kasafa region this weekend. The championship kicked off in Lilongwe, Malawi on Saturday and will run until Monday, the 31st of October 2022. CAF President Dr. Patrice Motsepe attended the official launch of the Kasafa Zone qualifier on Saturday morning, where he was joined by CAF's General Secretary Veron Musengo Omba and Kasafa President Arthur D. Almeida El Silva. Kasafa is the second zone to host the zonal qualifiers, as UNAF led the way in Egypt, Cairo a fortnight ago. In cricket news, the T20 World Cup 2022 match between Zimbabwe and Bangladesh on Sunday produced a never-seen-before incident, as Zimbabwe players were recalled after the final ball of the match was deemed a no-ball. Bangladesh survived to beat Zimbabwe by 3 runs in an exciting men's T20 World Cup game in Brisbane, needing 5 from the final ball to successfully chase 151. Number 10 Blessing Mozambani was stumped after upsetting Pakistan in the T20 World Cup Group 2 March. Zimbabwe nearly produced a victory over Bangladesh in Brisbane before eventually losing the match by 3 runs. In basketball news, Sunday is the final day of the Group C 2022 road to the Basketball African League qualifiers, and you'll see teams trying to outplay each other as they ensure they qualify for the South African leg of the Elite 16 tournament, which will take place in November. In Sunday's opening game, Burundi outfit Oronani, who have a 2-0 record, will try to go for a 3rd victory in a row when they take on the winless Matro Magic at the Benjamin Mkapa's Indoor Stadium in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. The final game of the evening will see host Army Basketball Club take on City Oilers to fight it out for a 2nd spot in the qualifiers. Both clubs have similar records after experiencing defeat against Oronani. And finally, in athletics, Elias Kimboi Chilimo was crowned the winner at this year's Nairobi Marathon, which took place in Nairobi on Sunday. Elias Kimboi clocked 2 hours, 10 minutes, 22 seconds to win the men's 42-kilometer race, picking up $16,000 in the process. And that is all for this week's edition of Nightline Africa Sports. Back to you, Douglas.
Thanks, Samson. And now it's Sunday on Nightline Africa, and this is the time we get to relax and reflect. A flashback with music from the continent. So easy.
I don't wanna rush you with my love, oh, oh. I take it slowly, oh, oh. I know they like to fuss in my loving. No, do I take it slowly? I'ma make sure I put you in the vibe one at a time. Sip a lumbo, and if you wanna do it tonight, yeah. Baby, I'ma put you on a cozy vibe. I take it slow.
So make you do me, yeah. Make you do me, yeah, yeah. Body is a ten, body is a ten, yeah. Me, I'm not to do. If you want to bang, bang, I'm okay, me, I want to turn bell. Let me see when there, ebe ye wu de de. Can't call me down, ebe se mi se bell. Swear not to, na God, you must to know me.
Baby, I'ma put you on the cozy vibe. I take it slow.
vigilante. Something is wrong.
I can see it from your face.
I don't say I don't show some bomb again.
I can see it from your face.
Now this don't be your happy face.
I can see it from your face.
Now this don't be your happy face. So
I can see it from your face.
I say I do something with all your smiling face. I make sorry if I said something we won't come spoil your day. Till you find with me, shorty, I just stand outside your gate. Oh, now, now, I make sad, say I do something with all your smiling face. I make sorry if I said something we won't come spoil your day.
Set a gun, we have now.
anketse motho akere ba re le rato ke spani ba re pelo e ba rata kankane o thatile la ke sena kanjani ke go rata maloba le maopane a sponono saka my love my smile keeper ane le rato e le cold drink wena o tulita ene mina ngiyokuthanduso ka wena ke kwala score anga wina lotho nga o regela Porsche. You got too much, too much, too much, too much, too much.
I just want to be. London.
I'm feeling vibes on vibes. I'm a ticking dynamite. I blow your candle light. You know I'm just that type. No, them no fit kill my vibe. Them no fit kill my vibe. Them no fit kill. Them no fit kill. Them no fit kill my. Wise man said, follow the stars. Yeah, you shall find a piece of advice. If you hit your enemies, enemies shine. If you're not a friend of me, enter the light. Cause you can never kill my vibe. Cause yeah, we don't sacrifice. Everything was taken, still had to make it. Vibe killer, me and no go take shit. Vibe killer, bloody somebody time. Protect my energy from your bad aura. Let my pastor say, I be my healer. Everything I desire, I go to see. My rhythm, flow like a river. If you get your wa, come on, go and sit down. I go just para, come off my jigger. I go just there, follow my dream. I'm feeling vibes on vibes. I'm a ticking dynamite. I blow your candle lights. You know I'm just that type. No, don't nothing kill my vibe. Don't nothing kill my vibe. You nothing kill, you nothing kill. You nothing kill my vibe. I see you watching my stories. I see you gauging my lifestyle. I see you watching my movements. This bad bitch bad every day. I know they look on your face. Bad man bad every day. Get on your knees and pray. Till you regain your faith. Five killer, bloody Samaritan. Protect my energy from your cardola. Let my pastor say, I be my healer. Everything I desire, my rhythm, flow like a river. If you get your wah, come on, go and sit down. I go just para, come off my jigger. I go just there, follow my dream. I'm feeling vibes on vibes. I'm a ticking dynamite. I blow your candle light. You know I'm just that type. No, them no fit kill my vibe. Them no fit kill my vibe.
I feel like funny boy.
Badass.
Electricity. Vibes on a frequency, yeah. Till infinity. Steady on a different beat. Life is not that deep. It's all about the energy, yeah. My mentality. Now you make it my body. Nobody go go sign. And you know everything I do is nobody else concerned. Aye, you go come online. And I see darkness all around me, but I know I'm the light. I know I'm the light.
Aye, shake, baby, shake. I feel your vibration. I get on my motion. Beautiful temptation. I get on rotation. Electricity, vibes on a frequency, yeah. Till infinity, steady on a different beat. Love is very sweet, but first you must get in Mula. Now poverty, now you make it my worry.
Nobody go go sign. And you know everything I do is nobody else concerned. Shake it, baby, shake it,
shake it.
I feel your vibration.
Vibration.
I get on my motion.
Motion.
Beautiful temptation.
Vibration.
I get on rotation. Shake it,
shake it,
shake it, shake it, baby, shake it,
shake it.
Electricity. Vibes on a frequency, yeah. Cause I'm 30, it is the Magulaya.
Simple, my neighbor, simple.
campaign Tropicana. Me, I don't the identity marijuana. Do wanna do body, girl, Morgana. Onjo, homeland, do for me, moya, we lost Goda. Who is nigga, if a nigga think I give up for? Me, I done the streets since when them sing on Gonzo. Apala no be so, cause see my team, them no be feeder. Premier League is not UEFA, small body, my engine bigger, go. When you show up, to power, oh, that is it, and no shit to that, and me consider, Maradona, to look for Jella, Emanuela,
see me striking the pose, and everybody watching me. I know me second hand, that's why you screaming, that's my woman. See me striking the pose, yeah, got everybody watching me. Singing my pendulum, that's why you screaming, that's my woman. Watching my club go tick tock, don't waste my time when I bend over.
And that was our Sunday music spot. Hope you enjoyed the music from Nightline Africa here at the English service of the Voice of America. Nightline Africa comes to you from the English service of the Voice of America. Hope you enjoyed the program tonight. And as you know by now, we are on air on Saturdays and Sundays at 16 and 18 hours UTC. For more African news and features, visit our website at voaafrica.com. Connect with us on all social media platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. We are also on YouTube, where you can watch our TV shows, Africa 54, Straight Talk Africa, and Red Carpet. From the Nightline Africa team, we thank you for joining us, and I'm your host, Douglas Impuga, in Washington, wishing you a very good evening.